coming up on New York Now. Governor Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio strike a deal on congestion pricing. But will it get the legislature's approval?
It seemed like the two biggest leaders were on board. And immediately, the Long Island Six, the delegation of six Democratic senators, sent out a letter saying, we cannot support the plan as currently crafted.
And we'll travel to the North Country, where an initiative is helping decrease the amount of salt getting into one of the state's natural beauties.
It's a whole perfect storm of impacts, if you will, that have to be addressed. We have to do it now.
It's next on New York Now, right here on PBS.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program, this is New York Now.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of New York Now. I'm Matt Ryan. My partner from the Times Union, Casey Seiler, is off this week. With the budget due in a month, things are picking up at the state capitol, as you'll be able to tell in this week's headlines.
The big news of the week came downstate, where Governor Cuomo and Bill de Blasio, who have had their share of disagreements over the years, came together on a plan for congestion pricing in Manhattan. It was part of a larger announcement on how to fund the MTA. Electronic tolling devices would be installed on the perimeter of what's called the Central Business District, south of 61st Street. The FDR Drive would not be included, and tolls would not begin until 2021. Senate Democrats, who disapproved of the plan by Amazon to move their second headquarters to New York City, said they have some troubling concerns over the plan, mostly how it will affect residents on Long Island. We'll discuss this more at the Reporters Roundtable in a few minutes with Yancey Roy of Newsday and Joe Spector of the USA Today Network. Speaking of Amazon, the Senate Republicans, back in the minority for the first time in a decade, came out Wednesday with what they call a comprehensive jobs plan designed to, quote, reopen New York for business, unquote. It includes a $495 million income tax exemption for small businesses and farmers, cuts energy taxes, and would reform the Public Authorities Control Board. Democratic Senator Mike Gianaris's selection to this entity was viewed unfavorably by the governor and Amazon, as he was firmly against the state's offer to the company.
We actually believe that by cutting taxes and changing how business is done in New York, that will stimulate economic development. That will create jobs. That will drive revenue to the state of New York, so that we can have a discussion not just about congestion pricing, but to listen to Joe Roback talk about highways, roads, and bridges in other areas and parts of the state. We share the same priorities, and we want to do everything that we can to be a sharp, aggressive, professional voice on behalf of the people we represent.
The longtime Suffolk County lawmaker also criticized the MTA funding plan introduced by the governor this week, specifically the proposed tax on recreational marijuana that would help fund fixes to the subway system.
I mean, this is nuts. The notion that we would legalize recreational marijuana and hope and pray that somehow a lot of people would smoke so we could have good buses and subway cars, that's ludicrous. That is absolutely ludicrous. And this is a very serious subject, but I think the average person on the street would be going, you're kidding, right? You're kidding.
In other news, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi joined Governor Cuomo in New York City earlier this week, where he signed into law the Red Flag Gun Control Bill. It allows family members, law enforcement, and school administrators to seek a court order to have guns confiscated from people deemed to be an extreme risk to harm themselves or others.
Now, let me say, when we talk about red flag and people with certain challenges, 99% of people with any diagnosis of mental health are safe, law-abiding people in our country. So we don't want to stigmatize as we do this. We just want to identify, prioritize to save lives and save lives of the person themselves, danger to themselves or to others. And let me also say that when we bring up our legislation this week, we will pass the bill on the floor of the House to prevent gun violence. We will pass that bill.
The New York State Assembly this week passed some bills that have been around for a few years, including one called revenge porn. It would make it a crime to disseminate an intimate image with the intent to cause harm to the emotional, financial, or physical welfare of another when the image was taken with a reasonable expectation that it would remain private.
Absolutely no one should be having their most intimate moments blasted across the internet without their consent. It is a gross invasion of privacy and impacts every aspect of the victim's life. So today, with our partners in the Senate, we will pass legislation to criminalize revenge porn in New York and ensure that those who illegally publish these images are held accountable for their reprehensible actions.
The bill passed the Senate as well and now heads to the governor, who praised the legislature after its approval. The Assembly also passed legislation which prohibits discrimination against religious attire and appearances in the workplace.
No one should have to choose between their occupation and their religious observance. It's important to the Sikh community. It's important to the Orthodox Jewish community and the Hasidic community. And it's important to the Muslim community because, of course, Muslim women, we know, are often discriminated against for wearing hijabs.
The Senate sponsor is John Liu of Queens, and it is expected to pass in his chamber later in the session. All right, time now for our reporters' roundtable, and we welcome in two longtime Albany bureau chiefs, Yancey Roy from Newsday and Joe Spector of the USA Today Network. On some solitary rock, a desperate lover left his mark. Baby, I've changed. Please come back. Words spoken by Don Henley, but could have been spoken by Andrew Cuomo as well, as we found out in a Thursday New York Times story that he's looking to get Amazon back.
It's sort of like a Hail Mary or choose your analogy. They've said that they've been talking to Amazon. The Times story said that Andrew Cuomo has talked directly to Jeff Bezos to try to say, please reconsider. Also coordinated with this, there's an open letter that was distributed last night to all the media. It's going to be published in the New York Times today. Dozens and dozens of business leaders, union leaders, saying
some congressional members.
Yeah, and a couple of points about that which are important. One is there was a passage that says the governor will personally shepherd this through the approval process and get it through. But then there was also a couple, despite there being some unions that were on it, there were also some missing union ones, such as the retail workers, unless I overlooked it. Not everyone was quite on board with the letter. So, I don't know exactly how this will end up playing out, but it's clear that they want to have one more chance to try to get Amazon to reconsider. And the thing that's missing is there's nothing from Amazon saying at this point, yeah, we are reconsidering. Mm.
Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. Right now, Amazon's not saying that they intend to reconsider. But Cuomo's going to put full court press on here to try to have that done, putting pressure on Senate Democrats to kind of, you know, ease back on their opposition. I mean, Mike Gianaris was the person that they wanted to appoint to this little-known public authorities control board, which does have some say, depending on who you ask, how much say, but they would have a say over the Amazon deal. And when Andrew Stewart Cousins put him on there, that really seemed to be kind of the death knell in this, you know. And but now, lo and behold, flash forward a couple weeks forward here, he's not on the board anymore. They nominated another senator, who Leroy Comrie, who might be more sympathetic to Amazon. So there are a lot of changes being made here, bigger push. But will it be enough for Amazon to reconsider?
In addition to that that letter that was published in Friday's New York Times, Yancey, that you mentioned, there were a lot of statements coming out yesterday after that story broke. Andrea Stewart Cousins, Suffolk County executive Steve Ballone saying, hey, at least he said, hey, it's a no-brainer to bring these jobs back. So I don't know if that was a coordinated push by the governor. But
Not that they've ever done that before.
But there was some support Thursday night.
Yeah, if you kind of step back and look at the sort of the music of this as opposed to the lyrics, what they're trying to convey is that wait, we're all now on board. We're all on board. And again, we don't know that for sure, that mm-hmm. everybody's on board. And we don't know that even at this point, whether that message is going to have an impact.
And as Yancey pointed out, there's a lot of, the unions are split here, and the unions are extraordinarily powerful in New York City. And so, we talk about the Public Authorities Control Board as one piece of this, but another big piece was the unions. Mm. And Amazon came in, and they pretty much said they're not going to unionize, although there were some talk about maybe, finding some way to be more friendly towards unions. But nonetheless, to come into New York City and say you're not going to unionize and you don't really want to hear it, That's tough on Amazon, and ultimately they kind of said, okay, we're not gonna do it.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the timeline of how this played out, ever since November, there was the January 31st meeting at the city council where there was an Amazon representative, and where they made clear that they would fight a unionization effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the day where the opposition, I believe in my view, sort of really skyrocketed and became even more vocal.
Yeah, it got a lot of press, certainly. Let's move on to the other big story this week, and that was another agreement between Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo for congestion pricing south of 61st Street. Yancey, we're always happy to have you here, but specifically today, because there was a pushback from some Long Island senators because what's in it for us? Is it going to help us?
Right, and the news about the plan was almost that it was de Blasio and Cuomo on board. The plan itself hasn't changed much from when it was walked out, before. So it seemed like the two biggest leaders were on board. And immediately the Long Island Six, mm-hmm. the delegation of six Democratic senators, sent out a letter saying, we cannot support the plan as currently crafted. They didn't say that we can't support congestion pricing. But what they don't like is the details of this plan. Specifically, a couple of things. One is that it says any of the revenues generated, or primarily, I think is the words, will primarily be used for the city subways. And they're saying, wait a minute, what about the commuter rails? What about the Long Island Railroad?
Sure.
And by extension, sort of, what about Metro North?
Yeah, that's right.
And Joe, you had
the Hudson Valley.
About that, I believe.
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, following up with Yancey here, I mean, he had the story the other day about Long Island senators' concern. Well, lo and behold, here we are on Friday. Hudson Valley senators came out and said basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. What about us? What about Metro North? So you're seeing these suburban lawmakers who we both cover on Long Island and in the Hudson Valley saying, before you get our support, which they're going to need, mm-hmm. We got to make sure that the whole region's transit system is taken care of.
It's interesting when we have these rare agreements between de Blasio and Cuomo, there's been some pushback in these last couple deals.
There's Carl Hastie, the assembly speaker, said beginning in January that congestion pricing was probably going to be the toughest issue of the year in terms of regards to the budget. Now, this was before the revenue shortfall, but also notable is that on Thursday, the MTA dispatched a couple of its top executives to come to Albany and address a closed-door session of Assembly Democrats to try to pitch this idea. You need to get behind it. And from what we've learned in reporting about it, is that there wasn't a big hostile reaction to it, but there was a lot of nitty-gritty questions, especially, by the way, from Brooklyn and Queens legislators asking things about platforms and what about bus routes and what about transportation deserts, as the phrase goes, where it says people are kind of stuck with no bus or no rail options.
Yeah, and then they want to give a piece of revenue from legalizing marijuana to pay for the trains and the subways.
And we saw how hot that made John Flanagan.
Yeah, he said, what kind of sense does this make? You're urging people to smoke pot so you can fix the subways? I mean, that's basically what he said.
That was essentially what he said.
Well, yeah, and by extension, it's almost as if they better hurry up and legalize this because there's all sorts of things that are earmarked
that
for
marijuana.
Is that realistically, I know we're running short on time a little bit, but is that realistically going to be in the budget? I mean, we're 30 days out now.
That's a complex issue. I mean, you talk about congestion pricing trying to get in. I mean, the piece about medical or legalizing marijuana, and also it does affect medical marijuana. There's so many pieces to that.
And they don't have to do it by April 1 because they're not even counting on the revenue for this year. Hmm. So it could go on into June before any kind of resolution.
All right, last topic here. Kathy Young, a longtime Western New York state senator from the Olean area, announced that she was leaving. She'll be gone on March 10th. She had a leadership battle for the minority in the Senate between herself and John Flanagan. She lost out. I think the vote was fairly close, but she's going to be leaving. It's one of the few women that's in that conference. What kind of a blow is this for the Republicans, and is this a sign for things to come?
Well, you know, in one regard, it was not unexpected. Folks who've been around for a while remember the assembly battle for leadership, Sheldon Silver and Mike Bragman. Bragman lost, kind of fell all the way down the leadership totem pole and left. And that's sort of what happened with Kathy Young here. So it wasn't expected in that regard.
Yeah, and it just kind of shows where Senate Republicans are. I mean, they're losing one of their top members. Mm-hmm. And the other question is, will others follow over the next year or two because they're out of power?
We should mention she's going to Cornell at a job there in the Finger Lakes in Geneva. So that's it for us. We're out of time. Our thanks to Yancey Roy of Newsday and Joe Spector of the USA Today Network. This week's New York Now poll question has to do with our top story. Would you like to see a form of congestion pricing in Manhattan? Let us know on our website, nynow.org. Last week, we asked if you were disappointed Amazon decided to move its planned second headquarters out of New York City. This one went back and forth all week long, but no, ended up being the top choice. Lots of people giving us their opinion, including Brian in Clifton Park. The state Senate made a huge mistake and has cost the people of New York thousands of jobs and the opportunity for long-term growth. Shannon in the Bronx, watching on WNET, was a no vote. Long Island City looks like Singapore, but without the necessary infrastructure developments. The 7 train is insane. And finally, Marion in Queens Village. I agree that the tax incentive was too high. It could have been renegotiated instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The opposition was ill-informed, and Amazon should have held on. Our thanks to all those who took the time to vote. We hope to hear from you again at nynow.org. It's where you can find all of our past programs, plus links to us on social media, including Twitter, where our handle is at nynow_PBS. There's also a pathway to the Capital Confidential blog. You can also get it by going to timesunion.com. In the last few months, we've talked a lot about the acronym SALT, state and local taxes, and the federal cap that's been placed on them for deductibility purposes. But in this next story, we're talking about actual SALT and how one region in the North Country is working hard to keep it out of their famous body of water. It's a formula we've gotten used to over the years. When the snow falls, we fully expect to see the plows clearing the streets and dropping plenty of road salt to keep them safer for drivers. But after the snow or ice has finished falling, the salt remains. It goes into the soil or makes its way into streams, rivers, and lakes. That can be a problem. It's an issue that's been studied for years in and around Lake George, a body of water Thomas Jefferson once called the Queen of American Lakes. So, what sort of problems?
Change in species composition in the water body, potential upset of the food web, so the balance of species living in this water body. We're seeing groundwater contamination. Drinking water wells are being affected. So it's a whole perfect storm of impacts, if you will, that have to be addressed. We have to do it now.
For the past 4 years, the Fund for Lake George has put together a partnership with a number of different groups in coordination with the town's highway department to use less salt on the highways and, in turn, help keep it out of the lake.
I mean, this literally is an all-in, all-out effort. It takes every party, every sector to participate in reducing the use, that's the mantra here, of road salt. And it's not making roads less safe. It's really just applying salt smarter. It's doing it in a way where you can save money, you can protect this lake that is priceless.
This is a problem with output where most of the industry, both public and private, have no idea what's coming out of the back of the truck.
We met up with some of the partners one morning in the village. Raqib Omer is the CEO of Viasis. His role is to develop, implement, and deploy the technology that can track the weather and the response by the road crews.
We've got a team in-house that does the analysis or what I would say the number crunching. So every event, every road, every piece of equipment, We would see how often it went out, what it put down, and what was the end result. The end result we were able to capture using the weather stations and the cameras that tell us exactly what time the snow started, what time accumulation started, what time what was a piece of equipment out there, what did it do, and then how long did it take for the roads to come back to a safe, drivable condition.
Three of Lake George's plow trucks are outfitted with the technology that allows Rakib and his team to do this. There are two other important parts here that enable the town to reduce its use of salt. One is brining, treating the road up to 48 hours in advance of a snow or ice event, and then wetting the actual salt before it hits the surface.
And that does a few things for us too. One, wet salt sticks to the pavement better. We don't get the bounce and scatter that we were before. Also, any de-icer needs moisture to work. We're providing that moisture. So it's activating the salt. We're essentially jump-starting the process. So again, we can lower application rates.
Another key, these live edge plows made by a company in Quebec. The town has three of them.
At every segment, every section, not only trips back and forth, but to go with the contour of the ground, it actually will move 1 inch of down pressure and 2 inches it'll oscillate on each individual blade. So this entire edge will stay in constant contact with the pavement. So it, what that does is we're getting a cleaner scrape.
Dennis Dickinson is the Lake George town supervisor and says it's brought some relief to the bottom line.
We have cut our salt usage in the last 3 years in half. And that's a huge budgetary item. That salt's not cheap.
He says they've saved enough since the initiative started to pay for the new plows, all purchased in the last 3 years. Several municipalities in Warren County have them, along with the town of North Elba, where Lake Placid is. So why doesn't everyone use these? Well, for one, the technology is new. And according to Metal Plus, the company that makes them, they're about $6,000 more expensive than your average plow. The New York State Department of Transportation tells us they are always looking for ways that new equipment and technology can help them more effectively remove snow and ice on state roads and still comply with their safety standards. They currently have purchased three of these plows. All of them are being used in northern New York. Phil Sexton of Sustainable Winter Management partners with Rakib Ober of Viasis and says there is blame to be shared when it comes to the salt getting into the local waterways.
They've been measuring this since the 80s, but there's been no new road put in since the 80s. So, but what is new is parking lots, you know, hotels, restaurants. A lot of the privates are still being looked on as about half the problem, versus the road systems are a much smaller percentage.
As an example, he cites a popular thoroughfare in suburban Albany.
Think about Wolf Road, for instance. You have a big truck that's driving down Wolf Road applying salt. But then think about the acres of parking lots. So if you think about it in terms of 1 lane mile is somewhat equivalent to 1 acre of parking lot. You've got literally miles of parking lot on either side of that 1 lane mile. The public perception is when I step my foot out into that mall parking lot, let's say, not only do I expect to see sort of perfect blacktop conditions, but now the expectation is I better feel the crunch under my feet. And so that crunch that everybody's experiencing is excess salt. It's salt that just did not need to be applied.
We took a trip just north of the village of Lake George, where Jim Sutherland, a retired research scientist from the DEC, and Chris Nowitzki of Lake George Waterkeeper were out getting samples.
This is Route 9 that runs between the village of Lake George and Warrensburg. And we're standing next to English Brook, which is the sixth largest watershed in the Lake George drainage basin. This is one of the streams that we are currently monitoring intensively. We also have a site upgrading of this where there is no influence of the road. So we are able to look at the chemistry at these two sites and compare the influence of road salt on the chemistry of the stream. The difference in salt concentration between here and the upper site is about 140 times different. It's 140 times greater here than it is at the other site where there's no influence of the road on the stream.
They grab samples here every 2 weeks and bring them back to the lab for chemical analysis, where they now have 4 years worth of data. The fund for Lake George's goal at the start of the initiative is a 50% cut in road salt use by 2020, and also have all the local municipalities engage with the private sector to join the effort to keep this beloved water body a popular draw for New Yorkers and tourists around the world.
There's a real economic incentive here, which is particularly important because this is the lifeblood of our economy. So what we do to this precious water body, whether it's too much road salt, too much wastewater, stormwater, what have you, has a direct effect on the economic engine that makes this whole region go. So it's not a tough sell. With the science in hand, with the data that shows irrefutably that we have a serious problem, but you know what? We can solve it. We're not trying to put anybody on Mars. All we're doing is reducing the use of road salt. It's not that difficult. We're applying salt smarter.
That goal seems to be within reach for the town as they've reduced their salt use by 30% in the last 2 years. One last reminder, if you missed any of this program or want to get up to speed on past episodes, just head to our website, nynow.org. And that will do it for us. I'm Matt Ryan. We send you out with pictures from New York City. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time right here on your local PBS station.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation.